Numbers chapter 12. In the prior chapter, we saw Moses tried by the murmuring of Israel. In this chapter, we see him tried by the murmuring of his older siblings. Hear now the reading of God's holy word, Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. May the Lord bless us in the reading and in the hearing of his inspired and infallible word. As I mentioned, Moses is here tried by his older siblings, Aaron and Miriam. Verses 1 through 3, we see they're speaking against him, both in terms of his marriage and his office, and we see the inspired comment concerning his meekness. Verse 1 says that he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, this is the real trouble that Miriam has, Miriam and Aaron. They make a pretext. They come forth and they say something about him being presumptuous and taking all to himself. But this is the real trouble. It says earlier in Exodus, we read that he had married a Midianite. In fact, his father-in-law was the priest of Midian. And as you read through the Bible, you find that various groups make up these Midianite people. They are a multiracial people, you might say. We read sometimes of Ishmaelites, sometimes of Kenites, sometimes of Midianites, sometimes Egyptians, and sometimes Cushites. That's actually the word Ethiopian, those of the land of Cush, that cursed people, in other words. Also, occasionally, there are even Amalekites and children of the east included in the Midianites. So this is a multiracial group. Now, verse 2 gives us their pretended cause. "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Is he the only prophet? That's what they say their problem is. But God actually describes in verse 1 their actual complaint. This is often the case with people. They have a real complaint, then they have one that they present to you as their complaint. This is called hypocrisy, being two-faced. They're not saying the real trouble they have, they're saying some excuse that they have. But notice verse 2, when they complain, who hears what they say? God does. The Lord heard it. He hears everything that we say. He hears the words people speak in their mind that they never utter with their voice. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. God hears what they say. Notice, though, that Moses will not take vengeance. Verse 3, it says Moses was very meek. He was poor, humble, lowly. He wouldn't answer for himself. It says that he was meek above all the men upon the face of the earth. The scripture is very honest, both in the virtues and the vices of Moses. Last chapter we saw his failings. This chapter we see his virtue. So the Lord is commending him here for his meekness. Just as an exhortation, we must be cautious when we complain about people. When we complain about things, we must be honest. When we state our reasons, they must be the same as the reasons we have inside, not, oh, I'll just say this more pleasant thing that sounds easier to hear. I'll lie to that person and not tell them my real trouble. That's what Miriam and Aaron do. We'll not say that we don't like him marrying an Ethiopian woman. We'll say, oh, you take too much upon yourself. You think you're the only one God speaks through. We must be cautious not to be hypocrites and hide our true thoughts. Our words and our mind must agree. Then notice verses 4 through 10, the Lord comes down to judge this case. And notice, unlike human courts, God doesn't ask for evidence. He presents, as soon as he calls the trial together, you'll see, verse 4, come out ye three unto the tabernacle. The parties are summoned. Then verse 5, the Lord comes down in a pillar of cloud. The glorious judge enters his courtroom. Then he immediately calls the guilty. He doesn't have to try the facts. He knows the facts. So he calls Miriam and Aaron. There's no pleading their cause. They can't answer back to God. He's justified in his speeches. He overcomes when he's condemned. God is always just. He says, listen carefully, verse 6. Hear now my words. This is the sentence of the just judge of all the earth. And I note here, God is omnipresent. His judgments are always right. He's always there, watching everything, hearing every word, knowing every intention. There's no secret place where we can whisper, like Miriam and Aaron, that God doesn't hear and doesn't judge entirely the facts of the case. And therefore, we ought to live in such a way as recognizes that truth. That is a truth about God, that he is omnipresent, that he is completely just. Two truths about God, you might say. But we must live in the light of that truth. We must live before the face of God, as they say, coram Deo in Latin, before his face. Notice what God says. Moses was his servant, verse 7. Moses, he says, is faithful in all mine house. Yes, Moses sinned at times, yet he sincerely strove to be faithful to the Lord, and he did indeed execute his office faithfully. Here Moses, we read in Hebrews 3, verses 2 through 6, is like our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses like a servant or a slave in the house. Christ is like the builder over the house, the owner of the house, the son over the house. But here Moses is like Christ in his faithfulness. God asks these two who are guilty, Aaron and Miriam, wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God revealed himself uniquely. Mouth to mouth, he says, I speak to him. I have chosen him, the Lord says, and entered this special relationship. Why weren't you afraid to say something against him? You should have had some fear of God to speak against Moses' fidelity and his unique revelations he received. Then notice verse 10, God departs from them. The cloud goes up. This is a national judgment. The church is in distress as well as the persons of Aaron and Miriam being guilty. The nation takes on, to some extent, a judgment from God. Notice, though, Aaron's proper response, verses 11 through 16. We have Aaron's repentance, his intercession for Miriam. He prays on her behalf. Moses then meekly takes that prayer, and he inherently, or it's implied that he has forgiven Miriam. and he goes and prays on her behalf for her healing, but she is shamed. Notice verse 11, the way that Aaron puts it. Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee. Is that a pride that we see there in Aaron, like before, when they're exalting themselves? Oh, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. No, Aaron is now humbled. This is a mark of a repentant man. He is humble. Notice his confession of sin also in verse 11. We have done foolishly and we have sinned. He doesn't say, well, you know, you really shouldn't have married that Ethiopian woman. You really shouldn't take so much upon yourself, Moses. So we were sort of justified in saying what we said. You are out of line after all, Moses. No. We have been foolish and we have sinned. We have violated a divine statute that requires that we honor our superior. Moses was their superior. And also Moses was a man of God, and that's a first commandment violation. He spoke the words of God to the people. If you despise such a person as Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, then you are despising God. And so they sinned, and he acknowledges, he confesses, he doesn't extenuate his guilt. He doesn't offer an apology. Oh, I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry you misunderstood me. No, he says, we were foolish and we sinned. And that is true repentance. That's one part of true repentance. Moses forgives then, and he cries unto the Lord, verse 13. Again, Moses as a type of Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for us. When we cry to the Lord Jesus Christ as the one mediator between God and men, he then cries to the Lord for us, and our sins are forgiven. But the Lord says there are consequences. If her father, he says, had but spit in Miriam's face, she would be unclean for 7 days. God is arguing from what we call the lesser to the greater. If just her earthly father shamed her, wouldn't you consider her unclean? Well, of course you would. Well, what if she dishonors God who's speaking through his prophet? Shouldn't she be shamed? Shouldn't she be unclean for a time? So there were earthly consequences for the whole nation, in fact. They could not move, they could not travel until she came back into the camp. So Moses' prayer in one respect was forgiving, but on the other hand, God said, there will be consequences. I want people to learn from this. We see here then God's perfect justice in dealing out consequences to Miriam and his perfect mercy in forgiving and cleansing her leprosy. The public judgment had to be maintained to shame her and to remind everybody else not to do likewise. But God in his grace forgave her. We too must imitate God, and we must imitate his servant Moses. The Lord tells us that when we've been forgiven much, we must forgive others. Those who have been forgiven much will love much, Jesus says. We must be as Moses, meek and willing to forgive those even when they wrong us, to forgive them the wrongs that they have done against us. And yet, just as God did not publicly countenance the evil of Miriam by causing her to be shamed, so we must have wisdom in discountenancing evil. That's where you show your disapproval for the evil someone does, especially those under your authority. God did so, and we must imitate him. We must strive for symmetry in all of our parts. As God has in perfection both justice and mercy, so we ought to seek to imitate him by his grace. Thus far, the explanation of Numbers, chapter 12.